I read this headline yesterday, and I immediately threw it out there on Twitter because I read the article. And the whole time I kind of felt this mix of, I guess I was positive, because the headline itself has to do with a U of T scientist right here in our own backyard saying he's invented a cure for COVID-19. And you think to yourself, wait a minute, what's the catch? And I started to read it thinking, what is the catch here? And the deeper I got into the article, Jay, the more I just felt inspired by this individual's confidence and thought, yeah, we have to get this guy on the show and talk a little bit further about this, because there are so many questions that it brings up. And at the same time, I think that if this is the case, if this is where we're at, then somebody needs to get this guy a ton more money so that we can get this thing mass produced and get it out there to the world. Right. And, you know, when we talk about our science community here and our medical community here, I have nothing but the utmost of respect for them. As you know,
of course,
we've talked about that in the past. I think these are wonderful people doing the best work they possibly can. And the doctor has joined us to talk a little bit about this on the program this afternoon. His name is Sachdev Sidhu. He's from the University of Toronto's Donnelly Center for Cellular and Biomolecular Research. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start off with the very easy, straightforward question. What's the difference between a vaccine for COVID-19 and what you are claiming to have, a cure for COVID-19?
They're very closely related, oddly enough. And one of my main goals with getting some publicity is to highlight that we have multiple means for addressing the disease. A fundamental goal of a vaccine is to induce an immune response, which is your body starts to make antibodies against the virus. That's when you know you have a good vaccine. And I'm sure you've heard antibody passports, etc. It's become very clear in this disease that a strong antibody response bodes well. You get your antibodies, they attack the virus. And with all the talk of antibodies, people have forgotten what does a vaccine do? It raises your own antibody levels. So me and other groups, it's not just my group, there's a race of five or six groups I know of, which is good news. We can't have too many treatments or cures for this. What we're saying is we know how to make antibodies that attack the virus in a lab. We can make those, inject those into patients, and we essentially achieve what the vaccine would achieve faster with a defined injection of the antibody itself. So they're very closely related, different ways of getting the immune system to attack and eliminate the virus.
So let's back up a little bit and talk about you and your group. And I like what you said about we can't have enough people working on this and that there's a number of groups that are doing just that. How did your group get involved when the pandemic started? Did you jump right in? Did you apply? Were you asked to work on this?
Yeah, interestingly, at the Donnelly Center here, I have a group that's called the Toronto Recombinant Antibody Center. It's a platform where we do many different antibodies for a lot of diseases. Cancer, we've worked on Ebola in the past. So we have a means of rapidly making antibodies against whatever disease of interest. So nobody was working on COVID in January. Everybody is working on COVID now, but there was a middle time and we jumped in March. But it's science. We have technologies that can be rapidly shifted from one application to another. Now it's funded by both the federal and Ontario governments. Can always use more money, but we've been very well funded, and we're very kind of grateful that we had a response ready that could be rapidly shifted and applied.
As I was saying off the top, I read this column. I actually read it a couple of times because I was inspired, as I said, by your confidence, or at least what it was portrayed confidence in the Toronto Star piece that I was reading. Now, you say that you've created an actual cure. Is it an actual cure, or is this a hypothesis and sort of a working hypothesis?
Well, it's something that can be proven very rapidly by testing in people, and that's what we'd like to do very rapidly. And it's very much data, mechanism, and information based. There's a lot of reasons this should work. As I said, the whole point of a vaccine is to raise a strong antibody response. So this is an alternative, more rapid way of doing that. And there's already convalescent plasma trials ongoing, which you may have heard of, which are another way. You take plasma and transfer that into the patient. And what you're trying to get into that patient from the guy who had it is antibodies that neutralize the virus. And there's some good responses coming out of that. So everything tells us a strong neutralizing antibody response is a great way of fighting this virus. It could be a vaccine, it could be convalescent plasma, or in our case, the most direct and defined way is, let's cut to the chase and make an antibody that is engineered to do exactly what we want to do. And that's my point, it's science. We have a lot of data saying this should work. The final test is in humans, but we are working with a very strong set of evidence that it should work.
When you talk about testing in humans, the idea of, you know, I guess the standard way of doing this is, you know, there are a lot of very closely regulated tests that go on. A lot of them happen in animals and that, you know, we wait a good period of time. Obviously, there's, you know, a situation here now where time is of the essence. Is that why you would prefer to see it done in humans right off the bat?
Well, to be clear, we would still do safety in animals. That's very clear, and we can do that very rapidly. We could even do that in a couple of weeks and will. But this virus, we've learned the best model system are the 4 or 5 million people who are affected already. In other words, there's no shortage of efficacy testing, and that's drug terminology, but safety can and should be done in animals. We will do that. But how well this drug works, clearly to me, should be tested in humans. You can spend a lot of time setting up models, and you should do that for cancer, et cetera, where they're long-term. But if you're dealing with a disease every day, thousands get it and hundreds die, then it makes sense to move the efficacy into humans. So safety in animals, efficacy in people. I think that's a very smart response to the speed of this particular pandemic.
So how would this look with humans? Would it be like a flu shot? What are we looking for? What would it do?
Well, interestingly, people don't know this, but they should. Most of the validated drugs now coming out, many of them are antibodies. Herceptin, Avastin, Humira. Many, many people in our community are on antibody therapeutics. So we have ways of administering them. It's a simple injection, either IV. Every time a breast cancer patient gets Herceptin, they get an antibody. So these are not new technology. I wish I'd invented it, but no, this is 30 or 40 year old method. So half the drugs in clinical trials right now are antibodies. So that's the beauty of this system. We're adopting to the new disease, one of our most validated types of therapies that we have. So it's very easy to set up testing and administration because people do it all the time. Every cancer biologist, every clinician has used antibody drugs. So that's an advantage here. We know how to make and administer drugs of this type.
This is such Dave Sadu, who is with the University of Toronto's Donnelly Center for Cellular and Biomolecular Research. We're talking about the cure for COVID-19. When we talk about, you know, after it is given to somebody, let's say it's somebody on a ventilator, are you confident that this thing would take away all of the symptoms and prevent death?
I think our goal would be to keep people off the ventilator. And that's a great place to apply this kind of drug. Because once they're on, it becomes very hard. There's multiple complications. But a saving grace of this disease, I know it's weird to say that, is it has a predictable pattern. It's not Ebola, which we've worked on and others have, which within days, everything's over. We have great first responders who now know, track people. If they have the disease, but they're eliminating that the disease themselves. And by the way, that's them making their own antibodies. Just track them for a few weeks, let them go. But if they're old or they're immune compromised and they look at risk, the beauty of a treatment like this, you can administer it in an hour and it becomes effective immediately. So you should give it before people get critical, but give it to people who may go critical. So it's a very effective therapy for people who are in danger of not being able to handle the infection with their own immune system. Remember, about 95% of people without any intervention clear this virus. So we know the immune system works. We just want to boost it with people who can't do it themselves effectively.
When you say effective, what does that mean?
You have to generate more antibody than virus. This is kind of virology 101. This is something known for 100-something years. Antibodies are natural proteins. They're the second most abundant protein in our blood. It's something we have evolved to fight virus. And any virus will either kill you or you will kill it. And it's the antibodies and other immune cells that eliminate that. So if you can generate enough antibodies that can attack the virus before it overgrows, and literally that's what happened. You get millions of virus particles per milliliter of blood in an infected patient. But if you have an antibody either produced by your body or injected into the body by us, and it can attack the virus, it will literally eliminate the virus before it can do harm. So these are well-established methods we're talking about. There's different ways of doing it, but everybody in virology knows that neutralizing antibodies can effectively fight the virus before it reaches a level where it overwhelms the body. That's what happens when you have so much virus, it basically reaches a destructive level.
So doctor, I'm curious, and as are so many people on our text board, how do we get this mass produced and how do we get it out to people?
I think we're on the right path. I can't emphasize enough. This is not a race. We want to be first. We'll be happy to be second. We wouldn't mind being third. As long as somebody gets antibody therapeutics through the regulatory bodies. So we've had an amazing response from, Navdeep Bains, Minister of Innovation. They've actually put us in contact with Health Canada and everybody. So we are fast tracking it. And equally powerful has been we talked to Premier Ford's team. We'd love to talk to them more in detail if they're available. But again, we can't overemphasize. Both governments have been very effective. So the good news for us, I think we are on the right track. I think we would like to make it even faster, but that's a regulatory issue. But we're discussing.
Is there a best case scenario time-wise?
I would like to say 2 months, and I think I can say that, in that we feel very confident we would have thousands of doses, which is what it takes to do all the clinical trials, and then you could make more, basically turning the crank. I think we can achieve that in 2 months. And we're working with both governments, especially the federal government, because they regulate this. When we have that, can we immediately move into human trials? I think that's to everybody's benefit.
Wow.
Of course, absolutely with amazing. Full safety and everything. So it's not a shortcut, it's a fast track.
Very quickly, when you realize your team has found the cure for COVID-19, what is that like in the lab? I mean, is it a party? Is it high fives? I'm really curious as to the human element.
I'll let you know when we're sure. I think the main point of our article was we think it's science. We have all the mechanism-based data. We'll celebrate when it's over. You don't do an end zone dance at the 20-yard line. So I think we're in a good position, but we don't want overemphasize what we've done. We just want to make people aware, and we're happy that people like our work. But at the end of the day, we have to work as a team with regulatory, et cetera. But we are doing that. I think I'm very proud. Canada has been one of the countries that's had a very unified response, and I think we're going to see that in how we move our own stuff forward.
Thank you for taking the time to tell us about it today. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Sach Dave Sadhu, who is with the University of Toronto's Donnelly Center for Cellular and Biomolecular Research.